This is another damn podcast about digital asset management. I'm Henrik de Gier. Today I'm speaking about the people aspects of digital asset management. Here is a recording of the Creatosphere DAM conference presentation I gave in New York in 2013. Enjoy.
I'm Henrik de Gier. Some of you may know me. I recognize some of the faces. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a director of digital asset management services at Marlabs. That also means I'm a consultant in the DAM space. I've been there for a few years. You may also know me as a blogger at another damblog.com and another dampodcast.com. Did a few of those podcasts and blogs. Also authored a couple books, still working on a couple others as well. I'm a regular speaker at universities and lectures and conferences like this. Been nominated DAM of the Year a few times. So quick shot of the company I work for. We do lots of other things aside from DAM. We are vendor neutral. And we have offices all over the world. This is the question that we ask everybody, because that's what you should be able to answer if you're going to get a DAM. It's not just one of those check boxes where, oh, I need a CRM, I need a DAM, I need a CMS. I don't know what I'm going to do with them, but I have to check that box. So there's a couple of things that you want to remember is most organizations want to be able to search, find, use. And then the thing that most organizations forget about is you want to be able to reuse and repurpose those assets in order to get ROI or return on investment as much as possible on all of your assets or as many as you can, not just use it once or archive it once. The other thing to keep in mind is that there's the asset and there's metadata. A lot of people forget about the information part. The metadata makes your assets searchable. Otherwise, they're not. And as you accumulate more, and all of us are, you want to be able to find them. Then you also want to have accountability, meaning the people who are going to be doing all that information, adding that information, finding that information, delivering that information and those assets together need to be accountable through use, through groups and roles. And then the access, people who should be accessing those files and have the permission to do so, and those who can't or shouldn't, don't. That's the security part. And then, of course, there's distribution and download or delivery of those assets. Because if it can't deliver it to whatever platform you need it on, why do you have a DAM? Or is it manual? How much time do you want to spend? How many people do you want it to do it with? The other thing to keep in mind is you've heard a lot today, and you will hear a lot more tomorrow, about the four parts of DAM. There's actually four parts. You heard a lot about the technology. Every conference talks about the technology. If you use vendor X or vendor Y or solution X or solution Y, and then some people will be talking about the information, the metadata, or the taxonomy, and then some people will be talking about the process. Today, I'm going to be talking about that part right here, the people, which everyone forgets about. And that's why I'm here to talk to you today. I proposed this talk actually to several conferences. This is the only one who was willing to talk about the people part, interestingly enough. So I'm a big proponent, for those of you who know, for the users, specifically the people who use DAM, not the vendors, because they're not there for you. They're there to make money for the most part. So there's a lot to talk about as far as the people are concerned. Most people, before they get a DAM, they waste lots of time searching. Now remember, they're searching, finding, and using, right? They search for stuff, but they don't necessarily find anything. Right? They have lots and lots of silos, folder structures, which magically will help them find something, at least the person who created the folder structure, or the file naming convention that means something to the person who originally created it, but nobody else, or is not shared by everyone else, or used by anyone else. And then there's the reuse or reacquiring of digital assets, because you can't find it, so you reacquire, you relicense, you repurchase, or you recreate and you waste more money. The whole purpose of DAM is to search, find, use, reuse, and repurpose assets. Otherwise, you're wasting your time, and you're wasting your people's time, right? It goes back to the people. What are you trying to do for your people? You're trying to save them time. You're trying to save your company money, right? Then, typically, there's access free-for-alls because you have silos everywhere, or you have everything's available to everyone, and then you misuse it, and then that increases your liability because, oops, we weren't supposed to use that talent for the last 5 years. We only had a license to use it for 1 year. Oops, well, I guess we have to pay more lawyer time and lawsuits and settle that out of court. Some companies actually have a budget for that, literally. They account hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars to settle things out of court because they don't fix their liability problems. DAM can and should fix your liability problems with your rights management for your licensed assets, the things that you acquire from Getty, from Corbis, from wherever you're getting it, or the talent that's creating your assets externally, or the talent that's in your images or videos. Then they build silos, and then of course, each fiefdom has their own silos because it's their assets, right? No, it's not. It's the company's assets. You get the paycheck from the same company, right? So start sharing.
How do you really feel about that?
Fiefdoms? Oh yeah, that's a politics thing. Well, we'll get into that. So then you have communication with the right assets. That kind of breaks down and is limited to folder structures and file naming conventions. And then your storage increases while your management decreases. So after DAM, hypothetically, if you do it right, you can save money and time, more time than money necessarily sometimes. You can reuse and repurpose your assets if you can find them and know that you can use them legally, right? You can access your assets, and the people who should have access can access those files. If you use permissions properly, role-based permissions, meaning the functional role of this group can use those assets. The other groups that shouldn't be using because they don't know what to use it for or how it should be used, don't. They can see it and go, yes, I approve that. It looks great, and that's it. Then you get the people like the rights managers and things like that who clear those things for them, and that can minimize your liability. So you visit your legal department slightly less often. They shouldn't fear, your legal department shouldn't fear when you come to them, and they shouldn't call you on a regular basis. They don't like to see you when you have problems. They have enough problems already. Consolidating silos, now this is back to the politics part, right? Because you're going to minimize fiefdoms if you actually communicate and share your assets. Some people don't like that. They like empire building. So that's another breakdown of things that you have to do, right? Then you can communicate. You can even collaborate. This is a new thing for some. So most organizations are drowning in assets because they're only accumulating more. How many people are in this room are decreasing the number of assets they accumulate every year? Yeah, none, because we all hope that we have a job tomorrow, right? The only companies that are decreasing the number of assets they have won't be employed very long or exist very long. So one question that we ask that most people can't answer unless they do the homework is, how long does it take you to find an asset for any campaign or project? And that number should decrease as you get a DAM and as you increase the efficiency of your DAM. So one organization, which will remain nameless, Fortune 500, took 10 people 30 hours to find one file. Who thinks that's acceptable in this room? Right. I didn't think so. So the other part of DAM should be able to do is manage your IP. Just because you can find it, are you sure you can legally use it? Most organizations can't do that because they don't look at their rights and it's not clearly defined in a templated fashion. That's part of their metadata. It's like, this is who you need to contact for that in order to reuse that asset. This is how much we paid last time for it. This is what rights we have to use it. This is where we can use it or should use it, because we have all rights reserved, or we have, this is royalty free, or whatever, this is public domain, or whatever it happens to be. The other thing is, metadata is not automatically created. There is no metadata fairy, still, to this day. We're still looking. Still haven't found one. And it still takes people to catalog and apply metadata to assets. An example, for example, is when we license music, when we go to iTunes, when we go to get a movie or an ebook from our favorite retailer, e-retailer, we don't look or assume that there's so much metadata in order to find that file. We just think, oh, it looks so done. It's already there. Well, someone actually applied that well before you saw it, and that's why you can buy it. The most successful companies out there have metadata apply to all of their assets so that no matter how you search for that file, you will find it. And that leads to more sales. Shocking, isn't it? If you can find it, you can use it. If you can't find it, you can't use it, and they won't buy it, right? And they won't be able to use it again. The other thing you have to keep in mind is there's three perspectives within every organization, at least three. There's the business side, which cares about how much money is going in, how much money is going out, what value they're serving their customers and clients for their services or products, and are they delivering on time? Then there's the creatives who want to do anything and everything with as much time and resources as possible until the deadline comes. And then there's the technical perspective that don't get any feedback, don't get the requirements they need to deliver the product that they need to deliver to the end users within the organization or externally. And then neither of them, all three, don't talk to each other most of the time in most organizations. So the idea is these three circles do intersect because they work usually within the same organization. They collect a paycheck from the same organization. They deliver probably the same products and services that people will use or do use, hopefully, but they don't communicate enough. And often the damn professionals sit in the middle or should sit in the middle of all three. They need to be able to communicate in their perspective, all three, why DAM is important, why they should see value in it in their perspective, including the creative, including technical, including business, not just, oh, well, it's going to save you money. Because the creatives and technicals, well, yeah, they want to save money, but that's not really why they're there.
Please stay tuned until next week for part two of this presentation.